Ursula Rostad was born September 9th, 1936. She became a child of God through the waters of baptism on June 9th, 1937. She married Andrew Rostad on March 11th, 1961. She was confirmed in the church on March 27th, 1966. God blessed Ursula and Andrew with a son, Michael, on December 9th, 1966, and later with daughter-in-law, Joan, and granddaughter, Heidi. Ursula was a faithful member of St. Mark's since it was founded, spanning 52 years. Ursula went home to heaven to be with her Lord on June 30th, 2017. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have come together to seek God's comfort in our sorrow and to rejoice in the promise of the resurrection. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you wept at the grave of your friend Lazarus, and you consoled Mary and Martha in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Ursula, and dry the tears of all who weep. Calm our troubled hearts, dispel our doubts and fears, and lead us to praise you for having brought her to faith. In your rising from the dead, you conquered death and opened the gates to eternal life. Strengthen us with your word, carry our burdens, and lead us through this earthly life until at last we are united with you and all the saints in glory everlasting. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We join together in singing one of Ursula's favorites, hymn 411, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus gives us this comfort. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. We will be before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Never again will we hunger. Never again will we thirst. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water. And God will wipe every tear from our eyes. Let us pray. God of all grace, you sent your Son Jesus to destroy the power of death and to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we too shall live. Comfort us with your promise that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. The portions of Scripture that we'll look at today for comfort that the family has chosen, the first one is coming from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 26. Here Jeremiah looks upon the fall of Jerusalem, and in his sadness he still shines bright with this beautiful confession about who our God is. From Lamentations 3, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The word of the Lord. The second portion of Scripture we look at comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 35 and 37 to 39. Here Paul tells us that we are more than conquerors and that we will never be separated from something very special. From Romans chapter 8. "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." The word of the Lord. The portion of Scripture we look at from the Gospel comes from Jesus himself, his high priestly prayer, which came the night before he died. As he is about to go to his Father and as he is about to die on the cross for us, he reminds us that he gives us something very special that he leaves with us every single day that we are here on this earth. From John 14. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name,
will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The Gospel of our Lord. We join together in another one of Ursula's favorites, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, hymn 389. Message of comfort comes from Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. A word of our Lord. Grace and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. I met Ursula once. She was sleeping in her bed in Eschaton the evening before she passed away. And yet, even though I never talked to her, I felt like when I left that room that night that I knew her well because of everything that Mike and Joan told me about her. Born in Germany, in Wiesbaden, fell in love with an American soldier named Andrew Rostad. Flying over from Germany to the United States, she found out that English could be a little trickier than she expected when she sat down next to someone from Texas who had a thick accent. A competitive pinochle player whose English eventually got so good that it would mix in with her German and she wouldn't even recognize it. But those weren't the only things I learned about Ursula. Even though I had never personally heard her confess her faith, I also learned about her faith in Christ that night. Her and Andrew were asked to help start a congregation in Citrus Heights, California, and she was willing to do it. For 52 years, she was a faithful member of St. Mark's Lutheran Church, and her faith shined through her son, Michael, whom she taught about Jesus. It was obvious. And all of this, despite all of the difficulties she faced in the early part of her life, she survived the horrors of World War II. And from what the family says, those difficulties would affect her for the rest of her life. So, as I was looking for a text for a special message to share today, I thought, what better than the one that we have before us from Job? As we look at what Job says, we will see that Ursula knows that her Redeemer lives. And we also see that there's a very special message of hope for you and me, too, as we look to the last day. You know, they say that bright things shine brighter in the darkness. That's why they display diamonds on black velvet, so that you can see the brilliance that shines from them. Well, there was a lot of darkness in Job's life. If you've ever heard of Job or know his story, then you know Job knows what it's like to face pain and sadness. Job was a rich man, blessed with many things, and back then that meant livestock. He had lots of camels and sheep and donkeys. He was blessed with many children. Job was a man who was certainly blessed by God. But then all of a sudden, in one day, that all changed. Servants came running up to him and said, "Job, you just lost all of your donkeys." Another servant came, "Job, you just lost all of your sheep." Another servant came, "Job, you just lost all of your camels." All of his well-being, his wealth, all of his income, his life savings, all gone. But it got much worse. Another servant came running and said, "Job, you just lost all of your children." All of them together were having a meal when the house collapsed. This was all in one day. And if it couldn't get worse, sometime later, God allowed Satan to inflict Job with painful sores from head to toe. His state was so miserable that even his own wife looked upon him and said, "Would you curse God and die?" Got even worse from there as his three so-called friends came, and for most of the book of Job, we see their conversation, where they continued to tell Job, "Job, you must be an evil person. You must be so terrible because God did all of these terrible things for you." And Job the whole time is maintaining in faith, "No, I am not an evil person in God's eyes. I know that. I know who my God is and what his plan is." And in all of this darkness, as he's wallowing in all of this pain and sadness, we see Job's faith become this beautiful, shining diamond in all of that darkness. There's something that flows from his faith that he's got to say. He has to say it. Not only that, it has to be written down. It's so big and so important and so bright. "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever." There's something so big and important that it must be remembered forever, long after he's gone. What is it? "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. What was it? It was the Redeemer. Job looked forward thousands of years and saw Jesus, his Redeemer, standing on the earth. The one who would come and take on flesh himself. The one who would take the plague of sin that racks our bodies with pain and sadness and sorrow, everything. He would take all of that and even be subjected to death for you and me. Job, in his faith, looked forward and saw him standing, because that death that he allowed himself to be subject to would not hold him. He would stand on the earth that holds so many of us after we pass away. From dust we come, to dust we go, but not this one. No, this one, in the end, would stand on the earth. Job in faith looked forward, and he saw his Redeemer, our Redeemer, Ursula's Redeemer. But as he contemplated this, that wasn't the only thing that he saw. No, the light kept shining even brighter as he considered what he was going to see. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. As Job considers what he's going to see, his Redeemer standing on the earth, he realizes from where he's going to see it. From within his own flesh, from within his skin that was seemingly decaying before his friend's eyes, he was going to see his Savior. From within his eyes that had been filled with tears, that ached with that pain and sorrow, with all of those things that it saw, they would be fully restored. And what he would see with those eyes put him in awe. He would see God, the one from whom we had been separated because of sin, the one who had to hide himself because of his holiness and our sinfulness. He would see God with those very eyes, not a stranger's, his own eyes. And his heart yearns for that day. And so did Ursula's. And so does her soul right now as she lives with her Redeemer up in heaven. It yearns for that last day. That last day is when we will all be raised from the dead. Body and soul reunited. This body right here will be raised back to life. These eyes will be restored and will gaze upon the brilliance of God. The heart that yearned all those years for that perfect eternity will be experiencing that perfect eternity on that last day. The brilliance shines in the darkness. So you and I look forward and yearn for that last day, just as Job did, just as Ursula did, just as they looked forward in faith and knew that their Savior was living and that they are now with him in heaven. We too yearn for that. These bodies may face decay. We may face sadness and darkness, but thanks to Jesus, the bright light of faith in us shines bright. We know that our Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. We know that we will see God. Job, Ursula, all of us together, standing and praising God. Amen. May that peace strengthen your hearts in this life until the day that you see your God on the last day. Amen. Let us now confess our faith in our Redeemer, the faith that Ursula confessed all those years, according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now join together in hymn 588, Abide With Me. Please note we will sing stanzas 1, 3, 6, and 7. We pray. God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and eternal life in heaven to light. We give you thanks because by his death, Jesus destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because Jesus lives, all those who know him and trust in him as Savior will also live. Deal kindly with those who mourn the passing of Ursula. Move them to gather around your word for comfort. Be their strength. Speak to them through your word and remind them that neither life nor death nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate anyone from your love, which is revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
I'd like to thank you for coming and celebrating the Savior that Ursula held so firmly in faith. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate also Ursula's life, and I know the family would like to get a chance to thank you if they haven't already yet either. So, from here, immediately we'll go to Mount Vernon for the committal service. We'll have a brief committal service there and come back here for a luncheon. May God grant you safe travel there and back, and beyond that, may God grant you his peace throughout your entire lives. Thank you.